Papa and I are going to record, so y'all go ahead and shut the door.
The watermelons in the garden are getting big. Do you think they're ripe?
Welcome back to Vintage Answers. This week, we finish up that difficult letter concerning all of those extra troubles that blended families so often face. I'm sure as we listen, we'll hear that much of it applies to all of us.
Okay, you know, a lot of it's strictly a matter of attitude. There are many homes that have some nitpicking and some my own children begrudgingly helped quite often. And you said you felt like their taskmaster. I don't think that's unusual in a home. I think parents often get in a situation where they feel like they're slave drivers with their kids, and their kids are, oh, Mom, and do we have to, or I'm tired, or it's his turn, or it's her turn, or just excuses for not wanting to work. After all, work is pain, and children generally are like adults. They don't want to work, and if at that point the parent becomes angry or frustrated or bitter or hurt or pitiful or begging or demanding, anything but firm, steadfast, and cheerful and forceful, then the whole home situation is going to deteriorate. When your children are whining and nitpicking, and if you are balanced emotionally and you just stand up and say, knock it off, all right, tone it down, all right, everyone sit up straight, stop talking, now look at me, all right, on the count of three, everyone gets up, and then you just give orders like a sergeant. You give them as one in control, expecting to be obeyed. And if you assume that role of authority, the kids will be happier. One of the problems in this home is lack of authority. The children just realize there's no authority there. And they're uncomfortable. They're unhappy when there's no authority. Each one of them is vying for control because mother's not in control. Daddy's not in control. And control is a matter of attitude first. It's not a matter of getting control and then feeling in control. It's a matter of saying, I am in control. I am the authority here. Don't wait until you prove it to yourself or prove it to your children. Just decide. Just make a decision. I am in authority. I am in control. I am the chief. I'm the boss here. And when you assume that attitude, the children are immediately going to see it. And the proof that one is in control is that when things go foul, you don't become angry and reduce yourself to one of the children arguing and bickering back and forth, striving for mastery. But when things go astray, you maintain your stability and your dignity as one in authority.
Okay, really your biggest problem is your oldest son. We have some ideas that you can pray about and consider. I would set my oldest son down with at the kitchen table, and with you and your husband both sitting there, I would tell my oldest son, we have eight children, and those eight children are very important to us, and you are one of them. But what you're doing is affecting our other seven children. And so what we have decided to do is from this point on, this is what's going to be expected of you. You tell him that you want him to obey you, to honor you, that you want him to show respect to you and your husband. You want him to be good to the other siblings. And then when he shows rudeness or indifference to what you're saying, you tell him, I've talked to your daddy. And then I'm talking about your ex-husband. I've talked to him, and he understands that we have come to this point in your life, and he is standing behind us. So now you've shocked your oldest son. He now has an authority. He now has three people who have decided to be on the same side. Of course, you're going to have to talk to your ex-husband, and you're going to have to say, look, this is what we're dealing with. He's out of our hands. We've made some bad mistakes. We didn't have a good authority line and we've made some bad mistakes and we're going to have to correct them, and this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to expect of him, and this is how we're going to deal with it. And when your ex says, well, I just don't agree with it, you tell him, well, then he's your son, you take him. We've got 8 children, and we've got to try to save the other 7. We've made too much of a mess with this one. So if you're not going to stand behind him, then he's yours, and you can do any, you can raise him any way you want to.
Yeah, it couldn't be any worse. You may say, well, my ex-husband is lost, or unless he's a molester, unless he is actually physically violent towards the kid, unless he is a homosexual or lives in a bar, if he is an upstanding, abiding citizen, he couldn't be any worse than the present environment, and it's going to get far worse. You do have the other children to consider. Now, this is a surgical method we're suggesting here. This is not a cure for the child. But what you're dealing with in a 13-year-old is basically an adult. He's beyond the point of spanking. He's beyond the point of you overriding his personality and his will. If he's not willing to cooperate and you cannot win him over, if you cannot persuade him, if you cannot cause him to favor you, cause him to appreciate you, if you cannot cause him to want to be a part and to cooperate, then it's a losing battle. So unless you get his heart, it's too late to function in an authoritative role over this young fellow, especially for a mother. So you may have to consider just saying to the real father, okay, you can come get him. There's nothing we can do for him. Now, if you're willing to do that and you come to that point and he knows that, that in itself may be sufficient to cause him to discipline himself. It may not win his heart immediately, but it may cause him outwardly to force himself to mold to the family structure and be more generous and keep his mouth shut and be more cooperative externally.
When you're sitting your son down at the kitchen table and he recognizes now there is a united front. Now there are 3 of them agreed. All 3 of them are agreed that I have to go live with my real daddy, or all 3 of them are agreed from now on I got to walk the chalk line. At least now he has an authority, an agreed front that is going to all see to it that he does. And if he had had this all along, it wouldn't have come to this point. If your ex decides that the boy is going to live with him, then the shock to your other children will cause them to sober down and see that this thing is a serious thing. So you need to sit down and talk to your children and say, I made a mistake. I should have let Daddy deal with him, and I didn't. I didn't do what was right. And now I am going to do it right. We're going to raise you children to where y'all be thankful and happy, and where our house is going to honor and glorify God. And so from this point on, we're going to start a new thing. I'd start having all of them listen to No Greater Joy Volume 1 tapes at nighttime when they go to sleep, so they learn to take pride in their family life, take pride in their brothers and sisters and who they are, and that they are obedient and kind and considerate. Right now, their morale is down because they have a bad guy among them. And then when the children come to the school table, I would start expecting and I would stop begging. I'd have a systematic plan where everybody has the same seat every time, that everybody has the same school box with what they need in it every time, and that when a child comes to the table with his schoolwork, if he can't find something, that he's sent away to get his supplies, whatever he's needed, and he's docked. For if he holds the class up 10 minutes, well, then he's docked for 30 minutes. And he knows, you know, for 30 minutes this afternoon, I'm going to have to clean out cabinets because I didn't come prepared for class this morning. 30 minutes of his time is going to be taken. And so they'll come better prepared. And remember, school, don't be a school teacher. Be a mom. I'd rather have a joyous, well-balanced child that could hardly read than a child that could read anything and be a creep. So remember to keep your perspective. Be mama. Don't be a school teacher. Have things organized so you don't have to constantly nitpick about things, the same thing every day. So that would help control that situation. And start enjoying your kids. If there's something in your life that is pulling you under, which is including school, then get rid of that thing and enjoy your children. Have a balanced life in that way so it'll take some of the stress off your family.
Thanks for listening. I hope it was a blessing. Don't forget to check out Ken Creek Corner for this week's specials.